You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
I asked a question on Twitter today. The question was, what pizza topping is the one for you, regardless of what others say? Matthew, what is the pizza topping that is the one for you, regardless of what others say?
Well, I don't know what that means. I never order like a one topping pizza.
You are forced to order a one topping pizza.
If you only have one topping, doesn't matter if it's, you know, if you want to say, oh, well, I have to have pepperoni and green peppers, or I have to have mushrooms and green peppers. It sounds like green peppers is the one thing that must be on your pizza.
You're standing on a cliff and a jar of
mayonnaise
about to fall off, and also a bunch of mushrooms. Which one do you save?
The Italian sausage.
Okay. Rodrigo, what do you say?
Need some spice.
Probably mushrooms at this point in my life.
Yeah.
Just because just so many things give me heartburn. So at some point in my life it would have definitely been pepperoni or some form of meat.
Yeah.
At this point it's probably going to be one of the milder toppings, like mushrooms.
Several people did say mushrooms. But by
mushrooms
far,
are good.
The one that I was most surprised that people answered was they have to have some kind of olive, whether green or black, on their pizza.
I like olives on pizza.
Olives are definitely a good, you get the salt and you get like a textural element.
Yeah. I'm glad people like those. I don't care for olives at all. Doesn't matter what kind of olive they are. They, to me, are nasty and disgusting. But I really thought that we would see more of a meat something on the reply list. Go track me down over on Twitter, everybody, at Major Spoilers, and you can answer that question yourself, and I will reply to you. I'm going to reply to everything that you tweet to me. So there you go. I want to take a moment and say thank you to everyone who supports this show and all the shows on the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. This week, we're sending our thanks to several people. First, it's Chris Gottproth, our newest yearly patron. Remember, you can pay for a full year in advance and only pay, I think, 10 months. You get like 2 months free. We get a bit of a discount with that when you sign up for a full year in advance. This week, we also had a number of new people join our Patreon, including Charles Aubaugh, who's our newest silver patron. Also, Derek Motes, who became another new yearly patron. Wow. So glad to have all these new people sign up this week. We're waiting to give you a shout out on the show. All you need to do is join us over at patreon.com/majorspoilers. That address again, patreon.com/majorspoilers. And if you're thinking, oh man, what's this going to cost me? Like $200 a month, 16 eggs a month? No, we're only asking for like $5, which is like 1/8 of an egg at this point.
Dozen eggs was $10 at the store this weekend.
Wow.
$10. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't like, put a sticker on it that was like, buy 10 eggs and get 2 for free.
I mean, they may have to start doing something like that. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, yeah, patreon.com/majorspoilers. We appreciate everyone who is joining us over there. This week, we are talking Teflon Punk. This is, according to the author, what is his name? Stéphane Metayer, I think is how you say it.
I would say Stefan Mattire, but
okay. So Stefan Mattire, he says he's been working on this since 2004, and it finally got published, and it was released in trade just at the end of last year, December 20th of 2022, from Dark Horse Comics. And I don't know what to think of this comic, because part of it is this is very much in line with something that I would expect to have come out in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And very much in line with both what the writers and the artists say as their inspirations. It is a black punk manga story. And I think that, I mean, anything you think about, what does that mean? That's what this is. And I don't know what you guys think about that. Rodrigo, what do you think of this story that is presented? I mean, it's not complex.
No. So like where to start? So it takes place in like the 90s. It is about a young girl who is trying to figure out if she wants to basically get involved with some drug dealers to improve her life. And this character named Gabriel, who everybody already hates for some reason, and she's trying to figure out why. I don't know. I mean, I had a good time with it. The characters are all very cool.
I mean, everybody has, that's one of the things when you're drawing your characters, right? You want them to have a distinct profile. Every single one of these characters has a distinct profile, except at the very end when the fourth character is introduced, the sword wielding person feels very much, when I was first looking at it, very much like the woman who is the cop.
They have similar profiles. Realize that she doesn't, she shows up before the end.
Oh, does she? Well, I know the cop showed up before the end, but I didn't realize the other person did. So maybe that is maybe a little character conflict, but Inez and Gabriel and, the cop lady, I don't remember her name. They all have very distinct profiles. And so when you see them appear, it's cool to see them appear. And I dig that. And the other thing is, I forget which one of the two artists, so I'm going to probably screw these up, and if I do, forgive me, but David Tacco does the characters, and Nicholas Safe does all of the backgrounds in this
piece. Yeah, I think so.
And so that also creates a very unique look to every panel of this comic. It's also interesting that it's formatted in what a record might be formatted in.
Yeah, is there a name for this, like, very square format?
Square bound. It's called square bound, and you're bound in a square.
It's called one by one.
It hasn't, to my knowledge, been used very often. I know that Alan Moore used it for big numbers back in the day.
There's a lot of indie comics, like Fantagraphics will usually have something that comes out with that.
Yeah,
I remember publishing does that.
I know that like Mouse Guard had a different format. It wasn't like a standard comic book format. It was like maybe slightly longer than it was tall.
It was
now,
really hard.
Since we're reading this in digital format, we don't know what the actual physical dimensions are, although I'm sure we can probably find them out somewhere. It would be very interesting if the actual physical dimensions were the physical dimensions of either a CD or
a record.
An LP. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because I think more LP, although this is probably more trying to format for CD, but more LP just because that feels more like funk.
Yeah, I mean, one of the, I don't know if it's like a cover or like one of the like internal covers is like a record.
Yeah, yeah. And they've got, I think like one of them looks like liner notes kind of thing.
Oh, it's the record is like the table of contents for the trade.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, the art and the layout is very interesting. It's very few panels per page, which means that the story burns through very quickly, which I kind of was saddened by. I don't want to say it's to its detriment, but I got to the end and I was like, oh, there needs to be more volumes to finish out this story. And we haven't gotten them, or I don't know what the current state of this series is. But I got to the end and I was very disappointed that we get right to the point where stuff is going to happen. And then come back next time for volume two or album two or whatever it is. There are some interesting reveals that seems very manga-ish, right? Like, you get a bit of weirdness in here in that Gabriel, the name probably is a hint, turns out to be some kind of an angel dude. Mm-hmm. And he's back on Earth. He's been exiled to Earth or sent to Earth. And he had his magic stash of drugs that somehow got stolen by him by Mr. Big. And Mr. Big is the only one who's dealing this drug around town. He's making lots of money. And Gabriel wants his stash back. And so I think is probably the fact that he's an angel is probably the weirdest part of this book for me. But everything else reads very much like a, you know, 70s punk Wu-Tang kind of story, a man with the iron fist.
Yeah.
He's a 17-year-old angel, kind of really.
Yeah, that he appears as a 17-year-old.
See, I don't know, because the story, you know, when they're doing the character breakdown.
He's been in high school for 20 years.
Shh. You don't know that.
I mean, the cop lady says that.
Yeah, they do flashbacks where he has a more like 70s appropriate hair. Well, maybe not, because he has an afro. So,
yeah, and big.
But yeah, he goes. They actually name check the haircut, but I don't remember what it was called. But yeah, like that scene where he's like beating up like some guys that are trying to harass a lady. That's a flashback.
Yeah, oh, because that's how he met the cop lady. She was in high school or grade school or middle school or something at the time. And that's when he showed up to save her. And so she's kind of had a grudge against him because she thinks she could have stood up for herself, but he stepped in. And so that's kind of where their two conflicts come from. And she has some weird power where she can track him down if she's within range.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Part of me just is like, this is really cool. This is really different than anything that we have seen before. And then part of me is like, but they're ripping, I don't want to say ripping off, they're homaging every single manga thing that was popular in the late 90s, early 2000s.
I mean,
yes and no. I mean, when we went through and we read Cells at Work, there were a lot of things in there. And, you know, we referenced the fact that it is very much, you know, I think I said it was like a Cestina where the format is there. You know, this is the way a manga story goes, and we're going to play within the margins, but we're going to maintain that exact same format. We're going to make sure that it looks and that it feels exactly like the average story. And I kind of felt like that was the case here, too, where they were trying to make sure that it hewed to some of the rules of manga, you know, right down to the detailed backgrounds and characters who can be really, really, you know, crazy and wild and out of control in the foreground and simplified, because then you're drawn into their world, but then you can also look at it and go, hey, this character could be anybody. This character could be me.
Yeah.
You know, but go ahead.
So here's what I would say is probably the most negative thing that I get from this comic is that I think like a lot of indie projects, it really feels like rather than sort of meeting characters organically, there's this like, look at my cool character. Kind of a situation is like, this guy's cool because of this reason, this guy's cool because of this reason, now they're gonna fight. Rather than to sort of like let that happen. But that's about the only thing that I didn't like about it. I just got that sense from it. You know what's nice about this comic? It's very black. You know, it's like all the characters are black, or at least people of color. Like, there's like the characters seem like legitimate, right? They're not, you see high school characters in a high school. You see, a police officer dealing with police stuff. And it all seems right. You know, there's no like, I don't know. It's weird because all of the action is so exaggerated. To then contrast it with like this like very real setting of like I don't remember if they ever specifically say what city they're in.
It's but,
like,
New York. This very, it's yeah, across yeah. the so, river. Yeah.
Okay. So this very like urban environment that is like you know, very clearly a real world place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a feeling like RZA would be totally down to try to make this like an animated show or a live action show in some way, shape or form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that would be really kind of cool. I think there's a lot of cool elements in this, from, again, character design to, you know, the conflict of here's this young 14-year-old girl who's trying to find out, you know, trying to find her way out. And it's like, well, it could be drugs. And then Gabriel shows up and says, no, no drugs. And she's like, okay. And he's like, come with me because I got to get my drugs back. And, you know, it's just the wackiness of that situation. Yeah. Because she's just like, why am I following you around? And then he beats up, you know, Mr. Biggs, one of his dealers, and somebody catches it all on camera and posts it on the internet. And now everybody's looking around for her and Gabriel. So she's in deeper, the longer she sticks around with Gabriel, the deeper she gets into trouble, because she's trying to keep away from, you know, Mr. Big and his cronies. And one of her friends at school happens to be one of the runners or one of the drug dealers for Mr. Big.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, when are they going to find out? When's it going to come down? And I like that kind of conflict that builds up in the story.
Yeah.
What didn't you like, Matthew?
I don't know that I didn't like anything. It's kind of hard to explain. Like the parts of it that I actually had to go out and do, you know, research and figure on, you know, that was the stuff that I really enjoyed. Like Queensbridge is actually the name of a housing complex in Queens, New York, which is considered to be one of like the breeding grounds of like modern hip hop. It's where a lot of, you know, those sort of attitudes and tropes came from. And the stuff that I was going and saying, hey, this is outside of my realm of understanding. That was the stuff that I really liked. But I also kind of felt like if there were things not to like, I don't know that I got them. You know, I really liked the idea of doing this as clearly a manga style story, but doing it with, you know, this New York attitude, doing it with this whole, you know, with the Afro-punk roots, and taking all of that and putting it together and saying, this is my, you know, my homage to the things that I loved growing up, but this is how I would do it based on where I'm from. So I feel like I don't necessarily love it because I didn't connect in the same way that I might have, but I found it fascinating. And I just could not look at this and not go, this is definitely a labor of love.
Oh yeah, it definitely is. It's harder
to say, you know, if it's like the latest issue of, I don't know, let's say Green Arrow, you can be like, okay, this came out of DC. There's an expectation of DC. There's, you know, I know how a Big Mac should go. But if I'm going to this really nice restaurant that's not serving me a Green Arrow or a Big Mac, and it's serving me something that may be outside of my comfort zone, you know, something that I've never considered before, then it may be that moment where I'm like, huh, I never really thought about that. So I don't think there's anything I didn't like about it. There are things that didn't resonate for me, but it also felt like they didn't resonate for me because I wasn't, you know, I'm not the audience for that. And that's not a failing of the work. That's just me not, you know, I guess that's not me being the target audience, which is really fine.
I think my biggest issue is that it ended too quick, and a lot of that has to do with the layout of the pages, which is great because in that square format, if you try to do a 9-panel design, it's just not going to work. You have to work with 3 and 4 panels or 2 panels or 1 panel per page, whatever it is. And that's okay. What's that?
They did some sixes that were really great.
Yeah. But you really can't do much more than that in this and really make it work in that format. And so that means that the reading experience is very quick. And in this collection, there's not, we essentially get, in my opinion, to the end of Act One in this book. And even though this has been in Stefan's head since 2004, I'm hoping we don't have to wait 19 more years to read Volume 2. Because yeah. that would be again, not not fulfilling. I need more of this, like right now. And this was hard enough to just find, just in normal Amazon searches. And so I don't know. I want to see more of this because I want to see how the story goes. Mm-hmm. I am, you know, there's a lot of things you can do with manga. This one, and there's nothing wrong with falling back on the things that you love. It felt like these are the things that I love and know about manga, so I'm just going to use that as opposed to maybe stretching it just a little bit more and exploring other areas. And so maybe that was a part that I was like, oh, I kind of wanted you to go a little further in this. But I guess there's nothing wrong with falling back on tropes and expectations, because that's knowing your audience for this piece. So I dug it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was interesting. It was something very different than what we have read before, because it is coming from a different experience. It's not Japanese manga. It's American manga. It is Black creator manga. And I think that that is, very, very fascinating. So for me, I say, if you can find a copy, pick it up and read it. For $20 for the amount of material in there, I'm not sure that it's $20 worth.
200 pages worth of comics, though.
Yeah, but it's such a fast read. I want to say, if this were a $16 book, definitely I would jump all over this thing.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not always necessarily paying for the time of the experience. You're also getting, like, the art is very large then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's worth getting maybe just for the art.
Yeah. Oh, no, the art is beautiful and fantastic. And I just love how the two artists work together to make sure that everything still feels the same. It doesn't feel like here's one art plastered on top of another art.
Yeah.
And so I really like that a lot, too. I kind of want to read more of this, and I hope we get to see more of Teflon Funk in 2023. Matthew, what are your final thoughts on this?
Oh, absolutely agree. I feel like this is definitely a book that you kind of have to read more than once, just read it on different levels. Because my first run through, I was just looking at the construction and, you know, seeing the art and going, oh man, that's amazing. Because there's one, it's very early on, and I don't know if it was the cover, but there's one with a character roller skating that is just beautiful, just a gorgeous, gorgeous picture. And when you start getting into the actual story and you start seeing what they're doing, I feel like you can read this all the way through just enjoying the art and looking at the construction. And then you go back and you read it again for comprehension. And then you go back to read what you missed. I really enjoyed this book. And again, the parts of it that weren't for me didn't necessarily keep me from enjoying the parts of it that I totally got. So yeah, I like it.
Rodrigo, you get the final word on Teflon Funk.
Yeah, definitely enjoyable. It's cool because it's like very high quality, but still very much feels like an indie. Yeah, it's definitely worth tracking down and flipping through at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of people that are going to want to own this, especially if we are able to see more of it.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. All right, dear listeners, that wraps it up for this issue. Thank you so much for listening and checking us out. If you found any value in this show, we would love for you to join us over on our Patreon, a little value for value. You can find more fun. You can find even more stuff. We're giving you a little bit more value than just the value of this show, including the Major Spoilers Podcast pre-show, where this week we talk about AMC's recent announcement and also all the Pokemon that you're going to find in Fire Emblem. You can go check that out right now when you become a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Next week on the show, oh, we are super excited because we are off next week. Oh, everybody's off for Valentine's Day. Going to spend a little quality time with our loved ones, and we hope that you do too. And then we'll be back on February 21st for Far Sector as we take a look at the Green Lanterns in space. Because Saxman 605 demanded it. And why? Because we know that you love comics and we do too. And we will talk with you soon.
had the X-ray vision of Superman, I could save a few bucks and stand around and read through the covers of the comics on the stand. But although every other page would be backwards, I suppose I could still read the evens and the odds. Well, I don't know. Guess I haven't thought this all the way through. Plus, as soon as the comic book store guy knew, they kicked my butt out on the corner. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Think about a better way. If I was hulking green or gray, I could just bust through that brick wall, take their comic books away. But then the little meat would deal with all the tanks and bombs and guns. Have you ever tried to read a series with all that going on? Guess I need to rethink this plan. How would I back and board my comics with such huge hands? Guess I already told ya. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. If I was Stark Raven, it's like a man of iron. I might not be surprised to find that I might actually have the heart cold to follow an entire storyline. But would I really even need to read up on all those escapades? I mean, who needs such distractions when your sister's such a babe? But the downside is such a beast. Being shot up in a fun, being in the Middle East with a King Sun throwing soldier. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. Whoa, 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 whoa. What a major spoiler.
This podcast is copyright 2023 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.